This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM in the morning run. I'm Koo Sichuang and I'm joined by Wong Xiaoning. And in about half an hour, I think Roshan Karnason speaks to a very interesting individual, Xiaoning, a chap called Tarvit Henricus, the chairman and co-founder of TransferWise.
Yeah, so what is TransferWise? Well, they're a fintech who wants to disrupt international banking by changing the way we transfer funds around the world. So fresh on the back of their Malaysian operations launch yesterday, Roshan Karnason will sit down with co-founder Tarvit
Henricus,
help me, Chong, here to discuss how they're disrupting banks, their $3.5 billion valuation, IPO plans, and their Asian expansion.
So all that to look forward to at 8.05, just after the 8 o'clock news. Now, as we know, last week, impeachment hearings into President Trump began. Now, in case you don't know, impeachment is kind of like the process by which a legislative body levels charges against a sitting government official. And impeachment does not itself remove the official definitively from office. It is just similar to an indictment in criminal law, and thus is essentially the statement of charges against the official. It's basically, basically suggesting that Donald Trump was use this office to influence the outcome of and to sway people against his opponents.
Well, the inquiry is assessing if Trump withheld military aid to Ukraine as a precondition. And of course, Trump has so far denied any wrongdoing. Of course, it is also illegal in the US to seek foreign help to gain an electoral advantage.
So, and as the impeachment hearings proceed, it looks like Trump is running over the allies to defend him. Earlier this week, a top US diplomat, a man called Ambassador Gordon Sondland, told the inquiry that he followed President Trump's orders to put pressure on the Ukraine to investigate his Democratic rival Joe Biden. Then Sondland told the Congress that this instruction came from Trump's personal lawyer, a man called Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City.
Yeah, the U.S. ambassador to the EU confirmed to Congress that there was a quid pro quo and that everyone was in the loop, opening the door to Trump's top officials. He even specifically mentioned that he worked with Rudy Giuliani at the express direction of the president, which now puts this personal emissary and attorney of Trump at the center of the whole saga. And all of these top officials have not yet testified to Congress.
So in other words, a quid pro quo is I scratch your back, you scratch mine. So for more on this, we've got on the line with us Mark J. Rozelle. He's the Dean of the Shah School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Mark, thank you for joining us. We're a week into this hearing now, and it's certainly caused quite a stir, predictably. What have been your key takeaways from the hearing so far?
Well, I think to this point, the Democrats have made their case through the various testimonies that have been presented in these hearings that the president did indeed engage in a quid pro quo. This is coming from members of the administration who had direct knowledge of the president's phone call with the president of Ukraine. But on the other hand, the Republicans are not convinced that this rises to the level of an impeachable offense. Many Republicans think the president did the wrong thing, that he should not have been using a personal lawyer to conduct diplomacy abroad or to engage in a process by which effectively the presidential administration was bribing a foreign government to do some research, background, investigate a political opponent in the United States of Mr. Trump in return for foreign aid. So both sides, really, the Democrats and Republicans, have dug into their positions rather firmly. And although, again, it seems the Democrats have established their case, I don't see that there's been much movement on the side of the Republicans.
And how damaging is this testimony from Ambassador Gordon Sondland to President Trump, actually?
Well, that was very damaging because here is a man who had made a million-dollar contribution to Donald Trump's election campaign in 2016. And as we know in the United States, oftentimes ambassador positions go to major donors of victorious candidates. And he was deeply loyal to Mr. Trump. He had written up testimony previously that seemed to mostly defend the president's position and establish the case that there was no quid pro quo. But he changed his testimony when he started to see the evidence lining up, and I think he understood the reputational damage to himself this investigation was doing if he continued to stand by his president. And so he effectively came clean in his testimony and clearly fingered the president and members of the president's inner circle as having engaged in a process that, you know, clearly violates all the standards of ethics and perhaps law in the United States regarding the conduct of elections.
So what's the Republican strategy for this going forward as we head into the second week of the inquiry?
Well, the Republican strategy is really to continue to make the case that although the president should not have done what he did on that phone call with the president of Ukraine, that this does not rise to the level of an impeachable offense. So as you correctly pointed out, impeachment doesn't mean removal from office. It is like a sanction against the president and a stain on his record in history. But after the House of Representatives does an impeachment and votes in favor of it, then the matter goes to the United States Senate, and the senators sit like a jury, and they decide whether to convict and therefore remove the president. But that latter process requires a two-thirds vote in the Senate. And a majority of the senators right now are not inclined to remove this president. So they may think he did something wrong on some narrow grounds, and I'm speaking on what the Republicans are saying, but that this doesn't rise to the level of what the Constitution calls high crimes or misdemeanors.
And Mark, like you said, since the likelihood of removing Trump from the office is low, what is to be gained from the entire process now? Why are the Democrats pushing ahead? Would it distract from the U.S. election process in 2020 then?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because that's really key. Impeachment in many ways is a political process because an impeachable offense ultimately is whatever a majority of the members of the House of Representatives votes in favor of. And it could be a political matter or it could be something serious. The Constitution anticipated that this will be a process that elected representatives would take very seriously and they would only employ impeachment for the most serious infractions. So the Democrats have really come to the conclusion that they have a constitutional standard that they have to uphold, regardless of the electoral consequences that may occur next year. They have to do what they believe the Constitution requires. And if they believe impeachment is necessary, even though the Senate is not going to convict and Mr. Trump remains in office, they've done their duty. They can't control what the Senate does. And I think that's exactly where the Democrats are right now. But as your question suggests, there are some political consequences potentially here. And one could imagine Mr. Trump running for re-election as an impeached president who was not removed from office and wearing that impeachment as a kind of badge of honor against the Democrats to stoke up his electoral base and turn up the voting by Republican voters who might just be really mad about the impeachment of their president next year.
All right, Mark. Thanks ever so much for your time. That was Mark J. Rozell, the Dean of the Shah School of Policy and Government at the George Mason University. Now, that's very interesting. He might even be, using that impeachment as a bit of a martyr card.
I'm just shocked. But then this is Trump, right? Are you surprised? He's probably going to be so proud about it, if you ask me, if he does get impeached. He'll turn it around, flip it onto his...
And say he was a victim of the system.
Yeah, he's a victim of the system. Vote me in. Look at what they've done to me. I'm the victim here, right? All lies, fake news.
Incredible. Anyway, some of the narrative from Sondland includes the fact that Trump never seemed to ask the Ukraine for an actual investigation of Biden or son Hunter. All he wanted, according to Sondland, was a public announcement of an investigation. He wanted a show, which is not in congruence with Trump's showmanship history. But I don't agree. I mean, at the end of the day, why would you just want to show you actually want some kind of formal investigation? Of course, it's just an assumption, right? Okay, 44 minutes past 7, we're going to be coming back with some more political news, but this time Malaysian, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.